You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
March the 13th of 2025. The time is 8:07. Another pleasant start here in North Central Wisconsin at our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Currently fair skies and 27 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show. I had to think about that for a moment. Thursday edition as we get towards the end of the work week. Glad you could be with us. Coming up here this morning, we're going to talk about the potential of some severe weather moving into parts of Wisconsin. Will it be here in central Wisconsin as we get into Friday night and Saturday? Well, we'll find out when we talk to our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, coming up in about 14 minutes or so at 8:21. Coming up in the second hour of the program, we're going to be talking a bit about the teacher shortage in the state of Wisconsin, and not only full-time teachers, but even substitute teachers as well. We're going to be talking to a guest that has ideas on how to close that gap in terms of teachers. So we'll talk about that coming up in hour number two as well. Also, at the end of the program, we will give Ian another opportunity with his number for the day quiz. 2 out of 3 so far this week. Off to a good start, so we'll do that. We'll talk to Ian later on, but good morning to you, Ian.
Good morning, Chad.
Because we don't want to wait any longer, because a man that's been very busy the last couple of days, host of Up North News Radio from 6 till 8 a.m., and the man behind a terrific event last night in Madison, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, joining us. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning from Studio A2 here at the Civic Media headquarters in Madison. Lovely little broom closet that they have here. Actually, I'm trying a virtual background for the first time here. So that's the photo you see behind me is from the theater last night where we held the event. So at least I look like I'm in a theater and not being interrogated.
Before we talk about actually what occurred there, I mean, it was their first Up North News live event like this. How did it go? How do you feel about it now that you got through it? Because I know there had to have been a lot of pressure involved in it to try to put this all together. How do you feel now that we're past it?
Grateful, because it went off without a single hitch. There were several hitches in the preparation for it. We'd had panelists who committed and then they had to beg off for one reason or another. So we were moving people around, finding new people. The search for facilities took a little while before worked out something with the Overture Center across the street from us here in Madison. But then once that was all nailed down, the people who organized it, who set it up, made it so much easier for those of us who executed it and got it broadcast across the Civic Media Radio Network, got it streamed worldwide on social media platforms. And it went off perfectly. And as I said during the show here, I feel like, as people mentioned to me afterwards, I feel like we covered the real issues that a Supreme Court deals with more so than what you see in all the political ads and the mailers and everything else, things that would actually impact a voter. So I was very grateful for all the folks who helped us take that different, more realistic lens to a Supreme Court election.
Did anything surprise you? Because obviously you go into it, you have great knowledge, you're following this very closely, you put together the program. Did anything that came out during the course of those 2 hours surprise you or something that you did not know or learned?
Yes, there were two surprises. One was big, one was mild, but even more noteworthy. The big one for me was something I never brought up in any of my notes, but it came up multiple times during the event. And that was, not only will this Supreme Court election determine the fate of things like public education in Wisconsin, reproductive health care rights, the economy, the environment, but the fact of the matter is, fair maps are on the ballot on April 1st, because if Brad Schimmel wins and conservatives take control of the court once again, the Republicans in the legislature and the justices on the court will do whatever they can to bring back gerrymandered maps and rig elections for, you know, however many years to come. And so for that reason alone, this election is noteworthy. The other one was a point brought up by Joseph Pecky. Now, we already knew the whole country was watching this Supreme Court race. It's a big race, a lot of money going into it. But when Elon Musk decided to put millions of dollars into this race and hopefully help win a lawsuit that he has filed here in Wisconsin that would help his company Tesla, the fact of the matter is, as Joseph Pecky pointed out, Wisconsin voters are now the first ones in the country since President Trump took office to cast ballots and say enough to President Trump and to Elon Musk. If Elon Musk wants to put this much money into a Wisconsin race, then he is on the ballot. And as Joe said, if you didn't vote for laying off thousands of veterans, if you did not vote for a trade war that is this close to triggering a recession, then this is your chance to send a message that this is not what you support. It doesn't mean you're not conservative. It doesn't mean you're not Republican, but it does allow you to cast this ballot for an entire country to see Wisconsin citizens say, hey, this much we agree on. This has to stop now, what Trump and Musk are doing to so many Americans.
And then, of course, after your event last night, the two candidates got together on WISN television to sit down and discuss the issues in a more substantive way than what we see in these 30-second spots over the last number of weeks. What was your
kind
take?
Of?
Well, yes, but
kind of, because so much of the chatter was about the ads, about sexual assault, pedophiles, all these things, which are such a tiny fraction of what a Supreme Court actually does. And I don't fault the moderators, because sometimes they did try to change the subject and the candidates wouldn't let them. They had to get in one more dig and one more dig. So it didn't get as far beyond the ads as I would have liked, but the moderators did do a very good job of occasionally getting them to wander into talking about areas that would be more impactful in terms of the day-to-day work of what a state Supreme Court does.
Was there anything that was said last night that you think would have a significant effect on the voters? That was there a difference because of what happened last night before that?
Yeah, event? there were definitely things there. For example, when Brad Schimmel said he would vote for the constitutional amendment that's on the referendum. Yes, we have another constitutional amendment referendum on the ballot on April 1st, and this one would enshrine voter ID into the state constitution. And he talked all the time about election integrity, voter integrity. When you hear the word integrity, just drop in the word suppression instead, because that's what they mean. That's what voter ID is a ways to suppress people, to keep them from voting, to discourage them from voting. And Brad Schimmel is for all of that. Brad Schimmel did not allay any concerns that he might be for a complete and total abortion ban in Wisconsin. And one more thing kind of surprised me. At the very end, the moderators asked each of them to cite a decision they made to prove their independence or bipartisanship, whatever you want to call it, cite a decision they made that would anger their supporters. And Brad Schimmel couldn't come up with one. He was like, oh no, I can't think of one, which, you know, is rather telling. Whereas Susan Crawford, and I did not know this, but she mentioned that during the lame duck session, when Republicans in the legislature stripped Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call of some of their powers before they even took office, there were legal challenges And some of those legal challenges came to Judge Susan Crawford. And she rejected the challenges, not that she agreed with them, but to the letter of the law, she said the law is what it is. These bills were passed properly. And, you know, that change in removing powers was something that, you know, she did not go along with the challenge of it. That would surprise people, I would hope, in a pleasant way, that you want judges that are going to uphold the law, and then you vote for legislators who will then change the law so that you can't have that kind of mischief that Republicans love to play with our Constitution and with our state statutes.
Well, there's one aspect of your show this morning that actually, you know, caught my attention during your conversation with the state legislators, that there have been nothing has been passed yet.
No.
How long is it going to take to get something passed?
They get full-time pay. This is classified as a full-time job, and yet Republicans try to mash everything into just a couple of months. And so they've been at this for 2 months now and have not passed anything substantive to send to Governor Evers to sign into law. Nothing has been signed into law in this session yet, which is in keeping with the Republican record of having among the least productive legislatures and Congress in American history. Now, to be fair, in a state legislative session, there really is only one bill that has to pass, and that's the state budget, which is why it becomes a grab bag of things. But a responsible legislature would be passing several other bills that are not really budget in nature. They're much more about policy and practices, protecting consumers and workers, education, natural resources. None of that's been done because all these early bills are attacking the trans community and dividing populations and trying to suppress voting rights and nothing that is actually going to, as people like to say now, address the cost of eggs or anything else that would improve the lives of Wisconsinites. And so Senator Melissa Ratcliffe and Representative Alex George did us a real favor by pointing out the ongoing lack of productivity in the currently run legislature.
Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, 6 to 8 a.m. right here on 98.9 WXCO. Congratulations on a terrific event last night. And
thank you.
Safe travels back to your beautiful home in the Chippewa Falls area. And we'll catch you again next week.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
Pat Kreitlow, again, outstanding job last night. Hope you had a chance to catch the program right here on 98.9 WXCO. Nice start here weather-wise in north central Wisconsin here in downtown Wausau. Fair skies, 27 degrees, but there's some interesting weather moving into the area in the next couple of days. So we're going to find out from our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:22, and again, a very pleasant, calm start here in downtown Wausau. Taking a peek off to my right, see the sun is shining, the barely no wind, I don't see the branches moving at all on the tree right outside our studio. Temperature in the upper 20s. And to find out about a more interesting weather forecast over the next couple of days. It's been calm so far this week. It's been very interesting this week. But things are going to change up just a bit. And the person that's been keeping an eye on it is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. Are you ready for some wild Wisconsin weather?
I think we are.
We can't change it, right?
But just, I guess the question is just how wild is it going to be? Because you've been talking, it could be some, you know, for the first time this spring, we're going to get that spring-like, even summer-like weather where during the course of a storm, you can get some lightning and thunder and all sorts of, you know, the stuff you get when it gets warmer. And it sounds like we're going to get a dose of it coming up in the next couple of days.
We're going to have everything. If I were to compare this to a roller coaster ride, I would say this is the Raging Bull at Six Flags or something, because we are taking a huge climb up a massive hill and we're not even to the top yet. Today, we are beautiful, sunny, gorgeous, dry, calm winds, nothing going on. We've got high temperatures reaching those low 60s today, which again is still 20 degrees above our average high. So fantastic day today. And then we'll put a little icing, a little cherry on top. Tonight, there's a total lunar eclipse happening. So we'll be about partly cloudy skies at this point from midnight to 3 a.m. If you go outside and take a peek at the moon, it is going to be crossing through Earth's shadow, and it's going to cast a red hue on it, which was why they call it the blood moon. So that's happening tonight. And then by tomorrow morning, we're going to start to rumble. I'm literally talking about some thunderstorms tomorrow morning, too. Okay, so we're going to wake up. It's going to be mostly cloudy. We could see some early morning storms around 7 a.m. or so. These are not going to be strong to severe, but they are going to rumble. It is going to put down a little bit of rainfall, and they could have some small hail with them, too. So that'll be early tomorrow morning. Then throughout the day, it's going to be warm. It's going to get muggy. It's going to be a windy day, too. Winds are going to be whipping at 30 miles per hour. Dew points are going to hit the low 50s. We haven't felt that kind of humidity and stickiness in quite a while. Now, that's not oppressive, but it's going to feel different than what we've been feeling the past months. So high temperatures will reach 70 degrees tomorrow. So we have all of that heat, that moisture, that warmth, instability. I mean, the warm front's pushing through in the morning. That's what's sparking up the morning storms. And then that night, probably around 9, 10 o'clock, it's going to push into the western parts of the state, and it's going to start to fire up some strong to severe storms. They should get the worst of it, and it should weaken as it comes towards us. Mm. This doesn't mean it's not going to pack a punch. This is a big line. It's probably going to have some strong wind gusts with it, approaching 60, maybe even 70 mile per hour gusts, which could do damage to these trees. I mean, they're just barely hanging on out there. They're still kind of dry, dead vegetation. So power outages are definitely going to be possible as we go into Friday night. This should hit our area around 11 to midnight-ish. So this is tomorrow night, 11 to midnight-ish. Again, heavy rain, hail, damaging winds, and there is a risk for tornadoes. Now that does stay much further southwest, but I'm not going to say it's not possible here. So just keep an eye on it before you go to bed tomorrow night and see what's going on with this strong line. But we are here in central Wisconsin in a marginal risk from the Storm Prediction Center. And as the system moves through, after it passes, the cold front moves in. Saturday, we're looking at a little bit cooler, into the low 50s, light rain out there, overcast kind of day. Then Saturday night, it switches to snow because we are dropping cold. We're going to go below freezing Saturday night. So into early Sunday morning, it's going to be frigid. And then Sunday afternoon, our highs only climb to the mid to upper 30s. That's where we should be for this time of year. And it's only one day. It will be sunny, but I'm telling you, we could pick up a couple of inches of snowfall, maybe around 1 to 2. So hopefully that sun will melt it off on Sunday. But wow, we're going through everything from thunder to rain to snow to sunshine to extreme warmth to cold to everywhere. So we're in for a ride.
And I imagine
Wisconsin, where the temperatures are made up and the seasons don't matter.
You don't like the weather today? Just wait a day and it'll change.
And I imagine, wait 5 minutes, it'll change.
And I imagine, I imagine that the 70 degree temperature that's expected tomorrow, it's got to be close to a record, if not blowing away a record, right?
It's flirting with our records. We did get into the 70s once before this early as well during that time frame. So it's flirting with it. It's still well above average. I mean, gosh. It's like 25, 30 degrees above average again.
And then even after the little bit of a colder snap on Sunday, back above normal right away early next week.
Yes. Yeah, we climb right back. Nice warmth early next week, but I will give you a little teaser. Middle of next week, there's another storm. So there's a reason why we're getting so warm, because another one's filtering right in and bringing us that warmth. So it's going to keep happening.
That roller coaster. Yep, that roller coaster continues. All right, what are the details again for this very interesting forecast?
Sure. Bright, beautiful, sunny, calm, comfortable today. Highs in the low 60s. Will become cloudy by tomorrow. Few thunderstorms are possible in the morning. Those should be weak. It'll be a warm, muggy, nice day tomorrow. Highs hit 70 degrees, but it will be cloudy. Then we've got those strong to severe storms rolling through tomorrow night, probably around 11 to midnight or so. Rain, hail, damaging wind gusts. Maybe a tornado might squeak out of that. And then Saturday, falling a little bit cooler, overcast, light rain, switching to snow Saturday night, putting down 1 to 2 inches or so for Sunday morning. The sun comes back out, but we stay cool in those upper 30s.
Well, let's hope there's no squeaky tornadoes coming out of that.
Seriously, I know.
Brittany, thanks for all the info. I know tomorrow when we talk, it'll be very interesting. Could have those rumbles of thunder when we're talking tomorrow. Who knows? Ooh, but
it's going to be so crazy. Oh, man, I'm still coming off the snow.
Enjoy your Thursday, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Bye, Brittany.
Sounds good. Bye.
That is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, right now in downtown Wausau. Fair skies, 27 degrees. The winds are calm. Dew point of 23. Relative humidity of 85%. The barometer at 29.86 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Coming up next, it's an information update. News, weather, sports, entertainment, all coming up in the next few minutes. Top and bottom of every hour right here on 98.9 WXCO. And then more of the Chad Holmes Show after that. Good morning. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. On the Civic Media app. And also at YouTube.com. And you can go to YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO part of the app. This is interesting. Got a text, and I missed this when Brittany was on.
What does it say?
Tom from Jackson, 414 area code. How about the weather down in Milwaukee? Well, I can give you a look at the weather in Milwaukee, Tom, but this show is not on the entire network. This show is on WXCO here in Wausau. So when we have Brittany on for our weather report, we kind of focus on what's going on here in Marathon County and the Wausau area. So it's not that we are avoiding Milwaukee and the other parts of the state. I think when you hear Brittany pay a visit to, say, Pat's show, she's always on in the 7 o'clock hour in Pat's program. Then we have, obviously, you know, more of a focus on the state. So, again, during this program, here on the one station on the Civic Media Radio Network, the only station that this program airs is 98.9 WXCO. We focus on the Wausau area. So, again, we're limited with Brittany, so we focus on what is happening here in this part of the state. So, again, thank you for the text. And if you out there would like to you have a question or a comment or something you'd like to talk about, you can join the show by calling or texting as well. 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. You can call or text with that number. Also, if you have the Civic Media app, you can just open up the 98.9 part of the app and then be able to click on that and be able to call or text us as well. Well, last night, as we touched on earlier with Pat Kreitlow, there was the one debate, and I hate the term debate. I think it's more along the lines of a joint appearance, because if you think about what a debate is, if you go back to when you were in school, what was a debate? What we see on television for a presidential candidate or a Senate candidate or a state Supreme Court candidate is not a debate. It's a joint discussion where moderators give some topics and they either talk about what they're asked or they go off on a tangent. But the idea of it being a debate, I think, is a little bit off. But last night, it was held at Marquette University Law School in Milwaukee, moderated by WISN Television 12 in Milwaukee. And it was rather feisty. And it's not surprising, because when you look at the commercials that we are seeing for this race that concludes on April Fool's Day, April the 1st, with the election, it's been a rather nasty few weeks since the commercials started rolling in. A lot of commercials and a lot of money has been spent. But basically, right early on in this discussion, the candidates started taking jabs at each other. Schimmel noted towards the beginning of the debate that he would look at cases objectively and that he wasn't rooting for any team, which is just ridiculous when Schimmel has been basically for his entire career a right-wing partisan and who has been rooting for the Trump team for the last number of years. Crawford replied that he was, quote, paying good lip service to the principles of impartiality and open-mindedness. Crawford added, throughout this campaign, he has taken issues on cases pending before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He had made remarks about the state's 1849 law that bans nearly all abortions and criminalizes providing an abortion. She appeared to be referencing reporting where Schimmel suggested the 1849 law was valid and that there was nothing in that law that made it invalid. She said, "This is not the kind of open-mindedness that we expect from judges. It is prejudicial to the parties in that case." Schimmel then came back and argued that his remarks were being taken out of context, saying that he was asked if the 1849 abortion law was valid. And he said, "The answer is, and was, it was passed by two houses of the legislature and signed by the governor. That means it's a valid law. But what I said next was there was a real question as to whether that law reflects the will of the people of Wisconsin now and today." And pressed on whether he saw the 1849 abortion law as valid, Schimmel repeated that it was a validly passed law, but added, "I don't believe that it reflects the will of the Wisconsin, will of the people of Wisconsin today." So Crawford came out swinging, to say the least, at Brad Schimmel. Also, it was brought up during the course of the discussion, the man, the myth, the legend, one Elon Musk, because Elon, as you well know, is somebody that's, you know, I will say this for Elon Musk. He is adding to the Wisconsin economy, spending all this money on the state Supreme Court race. I say this tongue in cheek, but he is spending a lot of money here in Wisconsin. Maybe he should get a vacation home as well. You know, there's a lot of great places you can come during the summertime. Maybe Elon, get a vacation home. Add again to the economy here in Wisconsin. Seriously, though, Elon Musk was somebody that they talked about at the debate last night. Judge Crawford repeatedly invoked the name of the Tesla CEO and Trump advisor. The man either is leading Doge or not leading Doge, depending on the day of the week and what Donald Trump and his minions are saying. Elon Musk, America PAC. I love how these names are always like patriotic. America PAC. But
it's how you get people's attention.
I know. And if you ever watch the commercials during the course of a campaign, during 2024, we saw many of them. And even now here during this judicial race, if you look and see who's paying for the ads, these third-party groups, there are always these names that sound like they're Super Patriots. And they're just all like wonderful names, like
Keep America Safe, Americans for America,
Americans for Prosperity. I mean, who's against prosperity, right? You know, but
you must have a think tank that just comes up with all these names and just puts them on a list.
That's right. And I will say as well that in Congress, they often will name bills in the same way. It's almost like, you know, you could have a bill that's going to, you know, throw people off their assistance, and they'll make it sound like it's the most wonderful thing in the world.
It wouldn't surprise me if President Trump had tried to pass an act that said the American Greatness Act.
Don't give him any ideas here.
Yeah, but I'm afraid of.
But Elon Musk and his America PAC has poured in more than $6 million to support Schimmel. Say he supports Schimmel three times quickly.
That's a tongue twister.
Crawford alleged that Musk was trying to buy a seat on the state Supreme Court race. Democrats have pointed to the fact that Musk has a pending litigation in Wisconsin over whether he can open up dealerships in the state, a case that could potentially wind up before the high court. Crawford said that I have support from all over the country, and it's because Elon Schimmel is trying to buy this race. And people are very upset about that, and they are disturbed about that. Schimmel said he's looking for the endorsement of the Wisconsin voters, but noted he could not control outside spending. We're not allowed to coordinate with outside groups. I haven't solicited that money from them. They made this decision on their own to support my campaign, and they decided what their messaging looks like without any assistance from me. So,
and it's like what Pat Aquilo was saying earlier in the show, is that, you know, Mr. Musk has put so much money into this judicial race that he could actually be on the ballot himself, which is what we don't want.
You know, the thing about it as well is, and not just in this race, but in other races, at what point will it get to be too much? And I think it's been way, way past too much, but agreed, in terms of significant change, because it just feels as though, again, the pillars of our democracy are shaky because of the opportunity for a handful of the super rich. And whether you're somebody that is putting a lot of money into far-right conservative causes or into progressive and liberal causes, it should not be the case of one person being able to buy their voice, to be able to buy a bigger voice in the issues that are facing our area, our state, our country. And it just feels as though there has to be a point where there, that even those on the right, I would hope, would say, this is not good for our country, for our democracy. But unfortunately, ever since Citizens United, it's been a case of the door has been wide open. All the money that you can possibly put in there, and it is hurting our country significantly. I don't see it. I mean, everybody talks about there's not going to be any change over the next number of years with the current state of affairs in our politics and in our courts. But I am very fearful if we continue for another decade or two decades or three decades of this kind of spending, and it's not going to be backed off. One thing we have noticed in every election cycle, we set new records. We set new records. We set new records. That has to change in some way. But unfortunately, with the way the law is, with the way that the courts are set up, with the way that our legislatures in the state, at the state level and the federal level are, unfortunately, does not appear that is going to change anytime soon. And people like you and I just don't have the same voice as somebody like Mr. Musk or any of the other super rich. And again,
we also don't have the same amount of money as they do.
Well, that's it.
We can't afford to pay for these ads.
That's why.
We were talking about this last year, is that the amount of government spending on the political ads alone was just outrageous. Because last year, I mean, we were bombarded with all these negative ads, and it's like they were spending so much money on these third-party groups, and it's like there was no regulations at all. I mean, they just kept pouring their money into these ads and these third-party groups to get people, you know, afraid and really influence the voters. And just the amount of money they spent was ridiculous, and there's no regulations. I mean, people can spend all this money, and there's no kickback because, as I pointed out in the past, it's just a drop in the bucket.
Well, the thing,
it doesn't affect them.
The thing about it is, as well, it would be one thing if all this money went towards making people more educated voters. But most of the spots, many of the spots, do not tell true background or true information about candidates. They just try to use, in the case of these judicial races, well, catch and release Crawford or Schimmel's this. I mean, it's all just negative advertising, trying to make each of the candidates look as bad as possible. It is not doing anything in terms of educating the public to make them better voters when they go to the polls on April the 1st. I mean, it's not about the issues anymore.
It's about image.
You look at the event last night when Pat Kreitlow and Up North News had this event that aired here on Civic Media from 5 till 7 p.m. You learn more about what's going on in terms of the issues of this race in those 2 hours than in thousands of hours of these campaign advertisements that are being put out by people on both sides of this race. So, again, I think that as long as we continue to set record after record after record when it comes to spending on these races, it's not going to get any better because you're not going to see more education going towards the voters. It's just going to be about cutting down candidates, and that is not good for our democracy.
No, it is not.
The time is 8:49 here on this Thursday morning, getting towards the weekend, and another very pleasant start here in north central Wisconsin. Very calm conditions, temperatures nearing 30 degrees. We're going to take a quick time out, come right back. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Today, sports-wise, it's almost like a weekend because there's actually a lot of sports going on during the course of the day. It's not a holiday, it's not a weekend, but I think a lot of people are going to be keeping a close eye on a lot of sports going on, both during the day and during the night, because if you look at college basketball, both the Marquette Golden Eagles and the Wisconsin Badgers start off play in their respective conference tournaments. The Badgers are in the Big Ten tournament, and they will take on Northwestern coming up today at 1:30. And if you're a big college basketball fan here in the state of Wisconsin and enjoy watching both Marquette and Wisconsin, the times did not turn out very well for you because both Wisconsin and Marquette play during the afternoon on a Thursday at the same time. I mean, it's crazy because you normally will not see a 1:30 p.m. college basketball game on a non-holiday weekday. And we are seeing that here today because the Badgers, Northwestern at 1:30, and over in New York at Madison Square Garden, the Big
Different
East.
Different stations, all right.
If you're home, if not working, you can have your clicker in your hand. But at 1:30 as well today, Marquette at Madison Square Garden in New York taking on Xavier in the Big East tournament. Marquette 22-9, Xavier 21-10. 4 versus 5 seed matchup. The Badger game against Northwestern. Badgers are 23-8. Northwestern is 16-15. But I mean, what are the odds? I mean, these tournaments, there's like 4 games in each of these tournaments today. They start early, they go right through the evening, but Marquette and Wisconsin playing at the same time. So if you're a Badger and a Golden Eagle fan and you want to catch both, you're going to have to be rather nimble with your thumb going back and forth. See which game is probably more competitive. Hopefully that the timeouts don't land at the same time, because there's nothing more frustrating when you're watching multiple games
and
when you flip over.
Exactly.
You turn back, commercial here, commercial there, commercial here. No, you don't want that. So 1:30 for both Marquette against Xavier in the Big East tournament and Wisconsin against Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament. Then tonight, if you're a basketball fan, and you can flip over, and the Bucks are on in a very interesting game, because the Bucks, who have lost 3 in a row, need to get back on the winning track. But the LA Lakers coming to town. Lakers 40-23 on the year, but they are missing LeBron James, who got injured earlier in the week. Bucks are 36-28, but need to snap that little mini slide of 3 games in a row. That game at Pfizer Forum tonight at 6:30. High school basketball. And boy, both the girls and the boys, a big Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The girls' state tournament gets underway. In fact, in the next few minutes, they always start bright and early at the state tournament.
Oof.
Actually, no, they don't start till later today. It's tomorrow morning they start very early. Today, they have the D3 semis and the D4 semis. The first session is at 1:30 this afternoon, the Division III semifinals. Elk Mound against Appleton Xavier, Oostburg against Laconia, and then the Division IV semifinals tonight, the Prairie School against Cuba City, and St. Mary Catholic versus Durand, Arkansas. No Central Wisconsin teams involved in those games at the Resch Center in Green Bay.
Nope.
And that makes me sad, because that means I'd have no games to do. But boys basketball sectional semifinals tonight. We have some area teams involved. The boys teams need 2 wins in order to punch their tickets to the state tournament. The Wausau East Lumberjacks take on New Richmond. Division I sectional semifinal game is being played at Eau Claire North. So the Lumberjack fans have a little trek to make to see that one. And if you missed our big high school sports show last night, our student athlete guest was Charlie Cayley of Wausau East. And you can tune in by going to our podcast page. Go to Spotify, go to Google, go to Apple Podcasts, go to our show page as well at civicmedia.us and WXCO.fm. Also tonight, Division I, East in New Richmond is a Division II sectional semifinal. I may have said Division I, no, it's Division II. Division I, Marshfield against Eau Claire Memorial tonight. Also tonight, Division IV, game that will be played at Wausau West, has Auburndale and Stratford, a pair of Marrowood Conference South Division rivals. A pair of Marrowood Conference North Division rivals will meet tonight in Tomahawk as Prentice takes on Rib Lake in a sectional semifinal as well. And also a couple of Packer notes as NFL free agency is going on. A couple of Packers have left. Running back A.J. Dillon has signed a free agent contract with the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. And Packers center Josh Myers has moved on with a 1-year contract with the New York Jets. So some changes in Green Bay as free agency is underway in the National Football League. Time is 8:58. We have an information update coming up, news, weather, and sports. And then coming up in the second hour of the program, we are going to have an opportunity to talk to an expert on the teacher shortage in the state of Wisconsin. So we're going to talk about that coming up during hour number 2. With Ian Welsh, I am Chad Holmes. Glad you could be with us. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.